This water castle is talking about the tin walls, one inside of the other, all made out of water. The floors inside the castle were also made of water. And this castle had trees and fruit all made of water. And it goes, this castle is very beautiful and very unusual. Castle of water is something wonderful. And also, we have to understand here what the Rebbe wanted to give over by saying that everything is made out of water.
Isn't that from The Lost Princess?
Yeah. We're talking about the last story in Sipurei Maisis, the Shiva Betlers, the seven beggars. This is the highest story in the Kutim in Sipurei Maisis. And the Chiddushei Arim, we said, mentioned yesterday, he went through all the stories and he said, I understand a little bit of some of these stories, but the Sipur of the Shiva Betlers, I don't understand anything. And the Chiddushei Arim was one of the greatest big Talmidei Chachomim in all generations, and he knew the greatness of Rav Nachman of Breslov, and what was the reason that the Rebbe wrote these stories, because he said, I can write you a lot of Torahs. He wrote the whole Likutei Moran, but the Sipurei Maisis are able to machzir b'tshuva more than all his Torahs. There's no way that a person reads the Sipurei Maisis and does not have a hearer tshuva. He thinks about chizur b'tshuva, even though everything is masholim, it's all stories, and he's not giving over the Torah explicitly. But anyway, we're going to now go over a little bit of the story to explain the story. The story is talking about this Bas Malka, the son of the queen, who got lost in this type of 10 types of walls of water, and the evil person, the evil king, who shot onto her the arrows with, and every arrow they had some sort of what do you call, some
poison
on the arrows in order to poison her. And she went through these 10 walls and she was shot. And she fell asleep at the end. She wasn't killed, but she was shot with the 10 arrows. What does this mean? And it's written in the story that the beggar had the power to receive the arrows back, just like they were never shot before. So what does this mean? We know when a person is hit like a bullet, let's say, and he's successfully able to take the bullet out of his body, but it already remains a wound inside of him. What does this mean in this story that there is a betler, there is some sort of tzaddi. You can take the arrows out, you can you can throw the arrows, but he can take them back just like they were never thrown before. What does this mean? So we're going to go into this, and also in this story is written a number of times the number 10. There are 10 walls of water, there are 10 Asara Mizmori Tilim, there's Nigunim, there are melodies, 10 melodies, which the tzaddik is able to cure this Bas Malka with these melodies. And why is it in 10 so many times? There are 10 arrows thrown at her. There are 7 betlers. They're not 10 betlers, but there are only 7. What are all these numbers talking about? So here we have we can explain that this story of the water castle is talking about Oved Hashem B'Simcha. A person has to be always Oved Hashem B'Simcha. It's one of the major themes in the Likutei Moran and all Chassidut Breslov. A person has to worship Hashem with happiness. Because we see a lot of times that people, in order to accomplish the mitzvahs of the Prada Bal Tshuva, he has a lot of annotation to become sad and discouraged and perplexed with Chozer B'Tshuva, because it caused a lot of problems for him. Like I mentioned yesterday, I myself had to leave my family and all my friends in America to come here to Israel. I went into a yeshiva for 5 years where I had no correspondence to my previous friends who I left in America. A person who changes his life and he decides he wants to start different type of Oved Hashem, he has to really work on the Inyan of Simcha, which is a very important factor in Chassidut Breslov. So in this story we also see the Inyan of Simcha, because the Rebbe is talking about the Sari Niguni of Simcha, the Esrim is Morim, which the Rebbe is Marabas here in this story, which is talking about the Tikkun HaKlali. He's talking about all levels of Simcha. The Rebbe says in the Torah Mechutz Maran that a person, when he gets into Simcha, he's got to go through all the levels of Simcha. He's got to bring the Simcha from his head and to his feet, go in all the organs of his body. He's got to bring the Simcha there, because it's not enough that you have Simcha in your mind. You have to make your Simcha mitpashet in your hands, in your feet, that you can dance at a chasana. You have a lot of people that cannot dance. Literally, they cannot dance at a wedding because they don't have enough happiness. They don't have enough Simcha. So the Rebbe says in the Torah, in the Likutei Moran, that the person has to be very careful that his Simcha should be shleimus. Not only this, but we have a friend sitting on side, eating in the chasana, he's eating at the meal, and the dancing is starting. It's a big inyan to take this person in to side, inside of the dancing, and force them literally to be happy and to dance. And this is also mentioned in this story. Where is it mentioned? Rav Nachman tells us that depression leads to sickness, and the cure for sickness is simcha. There is a big Talmud Chacham in this generation. His name is Avram Greenbaum.
I'm coming in another few minutes to give a shiur downstairs.
Rav Avram Greenbaum wrote a book, the Wings of Sun, I don't remember exactly the name of the book. It's written in English, The Wings of Sun. Mm-hmm. And he's talking here the whole book about happiness, how happiness can cure sickness. The cure for sickness is simcha. In the story of the water castle, the princess is healed through simcha, which is the incense of the 10 types of melody with which the beggar with no hands heals the princess. We're talking about in the story here of a beggar who has no hands. He has no hands. The whole story in the Sipurim Maaseiyos of Rav Nachman is talking about a beggar who has no hands, a beggar who is blind, another beggar can't hear. These beggars, they have the hands, they have the eyes, but they can't see, they can't use their hands. What is this coming to tell us? It's coming to tell us that sometimes a person has a very good talent, and he's not using it in the right way. A person has some sort of talent, he can communicate with people, he knows how to talk very nicely, but he's not using his talent, he's not giving it over. And another thing is, sometimes a person is using all his talents in the wrong way. So he has to know how to put all his talents in the right way to be Oved Hashem. There's a Torah in Likutei Moran that says it's a big mila, it's a big optimistic fact that a person has a Yetzer Hara. Why? Because he can use his Yetzer Hara, put all his Yetzer Hara in mitzvahs. Instead of shouting at his wife, shouting at his son, shouting at his boss or whatever, he'll put all this slivus, the fire. Where does shouting come? Where does anger come from? It comes from Zgvura, the Eish of Gvura. Where does this fire come from? A person could all put all the fire in Avodas Hashem. Get up early in the morning. Shout in davening. Shout when you say the Tikkun HaKlali, when you go in the field to do his bodidus. Don't shout at Hashem, but shout at yourself that you got to get out of all your bad taivas, your bad qualities. And this is putting the Yetzirah in Avodas Hashem. The Rebbe says, Mefarash in the Torah, that this is a big, very big quality, a very positive thing. Abnusin tells that this story has a theme of Simcha, and it's all connected up to Pesach. Pesach, person is very happy on Pesach. Why? Because this is redemption. What is Mitzrayim? Yetzis Mitzrayim. The literary translation of the word Mitzrayim means Meitzar. What means Meitzar? Our Yetzer. Meitzer and Yetzer. All our bad qualities. All our Yetzer Hara. We got to get out of our metzarim, our bad qualities, the bad things that happen to us in life. How do we do this with simcha? You got to be happy. What means simcha? Simcha doesn't mean taking a bottle of wine and drinking it and become drunk, or beer, or whatever. This is not really simcha. This we do on Purim, and we get very happy on Purim. There's a big inyan on Purim to drink and get drunk. But on Pesach, you also have to drink the four cups of wine. But there's no inyan in Pesach to get drunk. There's the inyan in Pesach to be very happy. Why? Because this is the whole soul of matzah. Matzah, it's written in the Zohar HaKodesh, two words, we mentioned it yesterday. Matzusa de demnusa, the matzah de emanusa, and asvosa. Asvosa means a curing, a remedy to a problem, a remedy to a sickness. This is matzah dasvosa. Asvosa in Aramit means a curing. It's like just like a medicine. And another, machlo dehemanusa. What is machlo dehemanusa? It's written in Zohar. A eating of amuna. You're eating amuna. How are you eating amuna? Because we believe that there was a Rabboni Shel Olam. There was a Boire Olam that took it out of Egypt. He took them out of all our bad qualities. In Egypt, the Jews were in 49 levels of Tumah. If they would have stayed there one more minute, they would have been lost. Just like we see today. I mentioned yesterday, my uncle, he married a non-Jew. All his children are non-Jewish. My uncle, he died early, he got a sickness. I understood that the sickness was given because he married a non-Jew. He gave over his Judaism. The person marries a non-Jew, all his children are going to be non-Jewish. If his wife converts and he really wants to continue over his Judaism, he does an effort for it, there's no problem. You can have women from other nations converting. But if you marry a non-Jew and you give over your Judaism over to your wife and you have a Christmas tree in your house, you're giving up your Judaism. This is the worst of it. It's like worshipping Avodah Zorah. He doesn't worship himself Avodah Zorah, but he's giving all his life over to the other side, the Sitracha we call it, to the Klippas. This happens in America. A lot
Let's
of stuff.
Define Sitraka and Klippas just quickly for the.
The Sitraach is the other side, which all the job of the Torah and Avodah is we're working against the other side. We're trying to come into Kedusha to get out of the other side. This is the 49 days after Pesach. Pesach, we're giving this great light, which brings us up into a higher level. Then, and no other night in the rest of the year do we come on such a high level. We lose it all after the first day of Pesach goes away. And what happens the first night of Motzi Pesach? We start saying Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer are 49 nights. We have 49 nights to go into detail. 7 times 7. You have 7 weeks until Shavuos, and you have 7 days in a week. We start out with Chesed to Chesed. The second night is Gevura to Chesed. The second week is Gevura. The third week is Tiferet. The fourth week is Netzach. The fifth week is Hod. And the sixth week is Yesod. And the last week is Malchus. So we have 7 qualities. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod are the 7 weeks, the 7 qualities which we have to rectify in Klolius and in Proteus. What is Klolius? The weeks. We have 7 weeks. What is Proteus? The 7 days. In every one of the 7, in every week we have 7 days. So 7 times 7 is 49. This is all tied also in this story of the 7 Betlers. The 7 Betlers are also against these spheres. And
when we're counting this, the Omer, how do we do it so it's just not perfunctory?
What's that?
How do we count the Omer so it means something?
Oh, so there is a book that now came out from Rafish who wrote the Matok Midvash on the Zohar, explains you have to learn Hebrew, though. You have to know Hebrew very well. Explains every night, what is the quality of this night? What is the quality of this night that I don't have in any other night of the Omer? You have to buy this book, and if you don't understand it, have someone try to translate you. Every night has a different quality that no other night in the Omer has this quality, and you can do this only on that night. I want to mention also now that there's a Torah in the Likutei Moran that says it's a very interesting and strange thing that no one has a real explanation about, but it's written in the Likutei Moran, so we have to believe in it, that the Rav Nachman says whatever a person talks about in the Omer, he's talking about that light night sphere. If tonight's sphere is Gvura Shebechesed, whatever you're talking about with your child, with your teacher, with your son, with your student, with your wife, whatever you're talking about the whole day, every single Jew, whatever he's talking about, is on that sphere of the Omer, which is something very hard to understand, because you could say, have the same discussion you have with your wife on this day of the Omer that you have in another week of the Omer. What does it have to do exactly with that sphere of the Omer? But we have to understand that there are very deep things involved here, that we have an influence. We're influenced from every place we are. If we go to India, we're going to have influence from the Indians on us. If we go to China, we're going to have influence from the Chinese on us. If we come to Eretz Yisrael, it's written in the Gemara, the Avira of Eretz Yisrael's Machkim, the air here in this nation, makes us a mind, have a Jewish mind, and open up our mind that we can understand Torah more. If you would learn, I would give you this year in Los Angeles, you would understand much less than here in Eretz Yisrael, because the air of Eretz Yisrael opens a mind up. What does this mean? How can this be? But it's something true, we have to believe in it. Not only that, not only do the air and the place a person lives has influence on where he is, it's written in Farash in the Pirkei Avos, that Rebbe, the author of the Mishnayot in the Shas, was offered to go abroad to be a rabbi in another land, and he said, I will not go anywhere else. People will come to me. Why? Because he knew if he would go abroad, that place would have influence on him, and he didn't want to have that. He wanted people to, he would influence on other people, not other people would influence on him. In other words, he wanted really to have control on his students, and not that some students would have control on him. Another very interesting thing I would like to mention here is that the Mor of Chabad, we all know that he was on a very high level. He wrote 100 Sforim, and one time he was teaching the Gemara, and one of his students said, Rebbe, this is not written Rashi, what you said. And they were lacking Gemoras at that time. We're talking about 40 years ago, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago. They were lacking Gemoras. The Rebbe of Chabad was giving a Shirin Gemora by heart. So he made a little mistake in Rashi, because he didn't remember exactly by heart. But he was actually saying the whole Gemora by heart, which is very incredible. This is a person on a very high level. The Mor of Chabad never stepped in the land of Israel. Why? Why? Was he against Israel? No. Exactly opposite. The Mor of Chabad knew if he were to come to Israel, he couldn't leave it. He wouldn't be able to get out of Israel. Why? Because he knew the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. The Mor of Chabad, no other one holds so strongly that, like he held, but he held, if I walk into Eretz Yisrael, it's forbidden me to leave it. Rav Nachman Breslov also came to Eretz Yisrael, but he left. He went back to Chutzlaretz. Why? Because at that time, it was very difficult to live here. There were very few Jews, and it was very difficult. He knew that he had to be with his chassidim and chutzarts. But he talked, Rav Nachman and Rav Breslov talks in the Likutei Moran and all his others for him on the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted in the future his students really to live here. We know that as a fact, that no one is choylik on that inyan. We know that Rav Nachman and Rav Breslov wanted us to live in Eretz Yisrael. So Baruch Hashem, as Talmidei Breslov, were accomplishing what he wanted. But anyway, in this story of the water castle, the princess is healed through simcha. And this is the 10 types of melody which the beggar with no hands heals the princess. Rav Nussan says that this theme of Simcha is tied into Pesach. With a focus on matzah. Eating matzah and Pesach is eating in holiness, which is accompanied by Simcha, and Simcha is related to healing. The Zohar describes matzah as bread of healing. It's written in the Zohar also, like I mentioned before, matzah des vose, machal des vose, healing. And you don't need to take medicine to be cured from your ailments. The eating of matzah, if a person has kavona, a person should be mekaven when he does the mitzvah, especially the first night of Leila Seder. This is a mitzvah esed d'oraisa. To eat the matzah, as some poskim say, you have to eat two kezesim at one time. You should chew and chew and chew the matzah. You take two matzahs, right? You have three matzahs. You're making the brucha al moitzi lechem and oritz on chidas matzah. You're going to now try to eat two kezesim, put it in your mouth, and swallow two kezesim at one time. Sometimes it's difficult. You can swallow it little by little, but try to eat two kezesim, which is about every kezeis is a third of a matzah. These round matzahs, a square matzah, maybe it's a half matzah, machine matzah. It's a half a matzah, is like a kezeis. So you should try to eat a whole matzah. You're taking two matzahs, one from the moitzi and one from the matzah, the achias matzah, and try to eat it one time, because there's a maloikus in the poiskim if you have to, which matzah you have to eat. So we're trying to eat two gezaisim at one time. This is mitzah deraisa of eating, one of the mitzahs. The maror that we're eating in the Leil Seder is not deraisa, because it's written you have to eat the maror with korban pesach, and we don't have korban pesach. But the matzah itself is a mitzah deraisa. When we eat the korech, the sandwich, Hillel's sandwich, this is also the rabbonah, because we don't have the korban pesach. That's also a very important mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of eating, and these mitzvahs of eating and drinking the four cups of wine are an inyan of simcha, which is related to healing. It's clear from Rav Nussan's remark that simcha must constitute a focal point of a Jew's daily service of God. When a person davens in the morning, it's very important that a person should be happy. It's so important that a person should be happy that Rav Nachman says, make a lot of jokes. You're in a very bad situation with your partner in business, or with your son. You haven't seen your son for a lot of years. Maybe your son has done things that you're not so happy with. Make a lot of jokes. You have a family who's not so religious. They're not so happy that you became religious. Make a lot of jokes with them. Make them laugh. Make them your friends. You got to be friends of all your family and your old friends. Keep a good relationship with them. I wrote out a book, so all the my friends I had in America who passed away, I wrote them a Eilu Nishmat in my book. I gave them a remembrance that I knew them and they passed away, so all the children will have a remembrance of the father who passed away a few years ago. You always should have a connection with your previous friends. You can have an influence on them. Rav Nachman Breslov says that a person, when he comes attached to me, if you're really attached to Rav Nachman Breslov, you say the Tikkun HaKloli, you say it every day, or you go to Uman every year and you do the Hour of His Bodies, you learn Poiskim, then all you're going to have an influence directly and indirectly on all the members of your family and your previous friends you had in your life. You're going to have a big influence on them. Even if they don't know about it, they're influenced directly and indirectly. So here we're talking about the Asara Mizmorim, which is in this story, and this is all connected up with Simcha. Simcha goes in hand with faith. One cannot exist without another. In Prat, the Rosh Hashiva here, his biggest theme is Amunah. He says, Rav Arush, he says, if a person needs money, doesn't have money, if a person doesn't have money, ein kemach, ein Torah. If you don't have kemach, which is money, to buy food, to eat, you can't learn Torah. How are you going to be able to eat lunch today? How are you going to provide for your wife and children? So what does he say? You have a lacking of Amunah. Because a person would pray for a munah, he would not be lacking mezoinus, he would not be lacking parnosa. Because a person has enough amuni, pray that you should have enough amuni, and you believe that you're going to have lunch. All of a sudden, the lunch is going to come in, the money is going to come in when you really need it. If you have enough amuni in God, you're not going to be lacking all these things. Actually, what he's saying is no chidush, because it's written afresh in the Kuti Moran, that a person, is he really has amuni in Shem, and he has das. You have to have two things, amuni and also knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge doesn't mean that you're a walking encyclopedia. Even though Rav Avadya Yosef, the Rona Brocha, he knew all the Shas and knew all the Torah by heart. This is a very good quality, but not everyone has such a great quality. We don't know the whole Torah by heart. But what das, a knowledge which we have to have, is we have to know what to do. When something happens, a person has to know what to do, to not get mixed up. This is a person a Jew has to have. If he's given bad influence from his wife or his bad friends, he has to know to say stop. I'm sorry, I can't listen to you, or somehow to get out of it. Sometimes a person has to leave and run away from bad situations. But anyway, we'll get back to our subject. The simcha and amuna are tied in together. The glimmerings of personal redemption that every Jew can attain every day and every hour, and the final redemption to the Jewish people as a whole, which accomplishes the civil elevation of all levels of creation. We should know that in this Chag of Pesach, it's Chag Achelus. This is freedom. The Jews were slaves in Egypt, and they were freed as slaves. I heard there was a place in South Africa, Johannesburg, that they had slaves until like 10 years ago. And they had no war to free their slaves. They simply understood that they had to give up the slavery, because we were able to have slaves 200-300 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Now we're in a mentality that you can't have slaves anymore. You have to pay a person. A person has to be free. So they let the slaves go without a war. In America, there was a war, and there was a freedom of the slavery. You want to go? You know Hebrew? You know English? Hebrew? You know Hebrew? If you don't know Hebrew, you won't understand anything. So we'll continue our share. They are bound up with redemption. The Simcha and Amun are bound up with redemption. Every day and every hour, says Rav Nussan. These themes are related to Tikkun HaBris. One of the greatest reasons why Rav Nachman came to the world is to Metakan HaBris, HaBris Midah. We know that, right? We know that Rav Nachman, one of the major reasons he came to this world is to Metakan HaBris Midah. Where did this come from? This came from, to begin with Adam HaRishon, the first man on the earth, that he had problems with his bris when he left his wife. When did he leave his wife? He left his wife right after Cain and Hevel were born. He left his wife. And so, Chas V'Shalom, seed came out of his bris milah without his wanting that. And sometimes a person has, any male person, it can happen to him any night, that he already saw a woman in the day, or even without having a hirur in his mind, it can happen because of eating. A person eats some sort of garlic or whatever, something that causes seeds. And this is considered an aver. It's written in the Zohar HaKodesh that a person in Mazid, you have people who they're not married to women, so they have to get out, they want to get out the seed. It's like a taiva, it's a sexual desire to get the seed out of the body. And if he does this in Mazid, it's a big averitz, it's written in the Zohar, that there's no tshuva he can do to rectify this sin. But we know that really a person can do tshuva. But what? He's got to do real tshuva. Not chatati pashai. Every morning we say in Tachman, and listen, we don't say Tachman, but every normal morning we say chatati v'pashati. And Rav Nachman says in Torah Vav, we have to say again, Chatati V'Shati, that we didn't say Chatati V'Shati in the right way. We didn't have enough meaning the last time we said that. So every person knows that he could do a much better tshuva. And anyway, this is the reason why all the Jews who went to Egypt, it's because of Adam HaRishon had these seed coming out of him in a bad way. He had no wife. And all the Netzitzos of Kedoshis were scattered and went to Egypt. And that's why they had to be slaves to the Pharaoh for 210 years. Right? It was supposed to be more than 210 years.
But 400 years?
400 years. But it was made less. The Kodesh Bohu said 210 years is enough. Why 210? Because there's a word, Ekiah. Ekiah, heard of God's name, Ekiah? There's Avaya and Ekiah. Ekiah is like Ima. It's like our Holy Mother. Ima Ilo, which is 21 when we take out the gematria of Ekiah. We have Aleph, He, Yud, K, right? That's 21. 21 times 10 comes to 210. So this is the 210 years the Jews had to be in Egypt working paro. What is the word paro? The word paro is orif. What is orif? When you change the letters around, orif is the neck. The sitra achra, which you mentioned before, the other side, is always pulling from our neck, from the back. Right? The sitra achra, what does that mean? The other side, from the back. The sitra achra is always pulling from the back. What is the biggest worship of the sitra achra? A person goes to the bathroom, goes to the bathroom, achroinim, in other words, not ketanim, gedoilim, goes to the bathroom, he's worshiping of avodah zarah. Why is that? This is achorayim. He does work with his back. This is the worshiping of avodah zarah. It all is, it doesn't make sense, but that's the worshiping of avodah zarah. Every sin that a person does, it comes from his sitra achra. It comes from his yetzer hara, and we got to get out of that. This, we have a new time in Pesach to get out of all our yetzer hara, get out of all our mitzvahim. This is with the simcha and the emunah we have, which comes from the matzah. So these themes are related in Tikkun HaBris, which refers to the taming of the sexual drive and the construction channeling of these energies. Rav Nussan mentions that the teaching of Arizal that after Adam and Chava sinned by eating the Eitz Hadas Tovara, Adam HaRishon, he abstained from marital relations for 130 years. This time, the seminal emissions all went to Egypt and created blemished souls that were born in incarnations, and they had to come back in Egypt. In other words, they had to wait in Egypt for the 210 years that they had to be slaves to Paro. These blemished souls are found in every generation throughout history. We say that the managers of Israel today, of the Memshalah, Eretz Yisrael, who are the Rosh Memshalah? Who is our Rosh Memshalah in Israel? They all come from the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav were people that wanted to convert to Judaism when Moshe took them out, but they didn't really convert entirely. So these Gilgul Neshomos become the Manhigim of all Eretz Yisrael. These are blemished souls. What do you ask?
No, what was the English for that? For what are they, the managers, the politicians?
The politicians, the managers of all Israel who are leading our nation today come from this Erev Rav, which are people wanted to convert in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they weren't serious enough. They caused the eagle. They worshipped the calf of gold. And they did not Choyzer b'tshuva in a proper way. So their Gilgul Neshomas came in the managers of all Israel, which they're also continuing to do bad things to the religious Jews. And that's our problem today. We're trying to metaken this problem. So these blemished
souls... correct the problem?
What's that?
What is metaken?
Metaken is to rectify. These blemished souls are to be found in every generation throughout Israel. Throughout all history, and will be ultimate tikkun only when the Mashiach Tzidkenu will come. And This is one of the reasons why that Mor Mechabad did not come to Israel. He thought himself he's going to be the Mashiach. We don't know who God really wants to be Mashiach. But he knew that he couldn't come into Israel until the Mashiach would come. That's one of the things that he agreed to. To help realize this end, Rav Nachman devoted himself to the discovery of the Tikkun HaKloli, which was revealed in 1805. Become its benefits for the individual, the Tikkun HaKloli paves the way for the Mashiach. Its ultimate connection with Simcha, which is elicited from the joy of the final redemption, is the antidote for exile, which is bound up with sorrow and grief. So the Rebbe says in Mefurash that how does a person really able to say the Tikkun HaKloli if he's sad? A lot of people, these Bali Tshuvas, people that are Chozer B'Tshuva, they left their families, they're always conflicted, they have these paradox problems and always very difficult situations. They have to a little bit forget about their problems. Be a little bit sameach. Be happy that you're a Jew. You say every morning, Baruch Shelo Asani Goy. Baruch Hashem, we have to be happy with the little bit we're able to accomplish. This, we should be happy and agree and to thank God that we got where we got to today, so we can even progress tomorrow. But now we're going to go in a little more to this story of the water castle, according to Likutei Moran, in the second Chelek, chapters 23 and 24. All illness comes from flawed simcha. Where does a mahala come from? Where does a sickness come from? What is the shorash? The shorash is because a person had a bad tomato, it had bacteria inside of it. This you can explain. You can go to the university. They'll give you thousands of explanations where the sickness comes from. Rav Nachman says in one word, you did an avera, you were unhappy. You are unhappy and you didn't oivid Hashem besimcha. That's the shorash, the source of all illness. Conversely, simcha cures disease.
That implies consciousness.
Yeah, consciousness. Also, you're right. There is a case where a person does an avera without consciousness. He doesn't even know that he did an avera. He didn't even notice it. Sometimes we say, these psychologists say, you didn't even notice what you said. You didn't even notice what happened when you said that sentence, what damage it caused. These things, sometimes a person, you know, he's not a malach, he's not an angel, and every person makes mistakes. But what, if a person really wants to go chozer b'tshuva, and he says, I'm sorry that I did that, I regret it. The Kodesh Baruch receives it, and also we hope his fellow man will also receive his chozer b'tshuva. This beggar that had no hands healed the princess because he knew the medium of melody, which is associated with simcha. The beggar healed her by correcting her pulse, for 10 types of pulse derive the vitality from 10 types of melody. So we mentioned yesterday, the doctor was checking up the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says, I know, doctor, you're also sick. So the doctor became very embarrassed, and he said, listen, I came to check you up, not that you should check me up. But anyway, he wanted to touch the pulse of the Baal Shem Tov. He touched the pulse of the Baal Shem Tov, and he said, Baal Shem Tov, don't think you're the perfect person in the world. You have some sort of sickness, but he didn't know. According to the medicine, according to the knowledge of taking pulse, I cannot tell you what your disease is. The Baal Shem Tov told him, I know what my sickness is. I love the Shem too much. I love the Shem so much that I don't know how to worship him in the proper way. This is a sickness, according to the Baal Shem Tov, because he has this ribui or so much light coming in from him to worship the Shem. He doesn't know what to do with such a man of light. But anyway, we see in this story that by taking the pulse of a person, you can understand what his sickness is. And you can also, a real doctor can understand what the sickness is from the pulse. So we have 10 types of melody to cure the pulse. You know that they were big at Morin, that they were sad people, because the more it's written in the Chazal, the more the das is great, the more knowledge a person has, the more daga, he has daga, he's worrying about things, because he thinks, you know, his students are not acting the proper way, his wife is not making him enough food or whatever, or they're worrying about the state of the situation of the Jewish people. They're not chozer b'tshuva enough. So what would they bring for these admorim? They would bring him a person who would sing and make jokes. So instead of that, says Rav Nachman Breslov, you don't have to hire anyone. Every simple person can sing, and every simple person can make jokes. You don't have to hire the professional to make jokes for this admor, because only he can make this admor laugh. A simple person can do it. So anyway, Rav Nachman says, he brings the posuk in Isaiah, they shall achieve gladness and joy, sadness and sighing will flee. So we see the sadness and sighing, and forcefully bring them into the midst of joy and happiness, and sadness and sighing are transformed into simcha. This is what we mentioned previously in the Kuti Moran. When you see someone at the side, he doesn't want to dance, pull him into the dancing. Make him, force him to dance. When a person is happy, sadness and sighing, stand aside, because certainly when he is happy, he is neither worried or anxious. But beyond that, the perfection of simcha is attained, especially when a person forces his worry and anxiety into his simcha, so that his sadness and sighing themselves rejoice. He transforms all of his worries and anxieties into simcha, so that his sadness and sighing becomes a veil for holiness. And so, Rav Nachman is trying to teach us how to be very happy. It's written in Hilchos Pesach, in Kuti Halochos, what is the importance of the redemption from Egypt? How did it come from? It came from Simcha. Oilam Acherus. It's written in the Pasuk, Ki Besimcha Teitzeil. What is Ki Besimcha Teitzeil? You will go forth to redeem with joy. How will Am Yisrael be able to come out of Egypt? Only with happiness. It's written in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Mefereshim. It's a Mishnah that every year when we have Pesach, we're getting out of Egypt. Even though there's no Egypt today, you go to Egypt, it's another nation that's living there. It's not the Egyptians that lived there at the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was there, but every person has a part of his life he's got to leave. You got to leave that. You have part of your life with your sighing and your being depressed. You got to leave the depression. You got to get out of the depression. Get out of your sicknesses. Be a happy person. And this, in Pesach, is the best time when you can come to this. The essence of exile is depression, which brings out the exile of the Shekhinah. The redemption comes from Simcha. And this is the Egyptian exile, which resulted to Adam Arishan's wrongdoing. He sinned in regard to the tree of knowledge, and he caused further spiritual damage due to the fact that he separated himself from his wife and subsequently experienced seminal emissions. Such accidents are associated and even caused by sadness. He was told by the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in sadness shall you eat. It's written in the Pasuk in Bereishis, Bitzavon Tochlena. The curse that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Adam HaRishon is you will eat in sadness. You will not eat being happy anymore. We know we have a good meal. Someone makes us a good meal. We have a good suda. We can be very happy, right? But sometimes, when we're in a bad situation, even the most tasty food, the food that we love best, we can't eat in simcha. Why? Because something is on our mind that is bothering us. On Pesach, we got to get out of all these bad situations. We have to leave them aside. We have to make a new beginning. We mentioned yesterday, one of the biggest things of Rav Nachman Breslov is to make a new beginning. Rav Nachman himself, he came on these very high levels of Kedusha and Sagot Elokut. How did he come to on these high levels? He was always making a new beginning. Leave behind all your sadness. Leave behind all your... something you have to even forget. Rav Nachman says, forgetting is a bad quality in the whole world. In my Hasidut, it's a good quality. Forget about your sadness. Forget about what happened to you last year in the 1957. Forget about what happened then. It was so many years ago. Forget about the Holocaust. You have to remember there was such a wicked person, Hitler, who did terrible things to the Jew. Remember that on Tisha B'Av. But now, on Leila Seder, we're going to forget about it. We're only, it's a big Indian, let's say you have in your Seder, you have Orchim, you have guests who come. They should talk about their individual redemption, about their individual miracles that happened to them. By doing that, that puts a person into a very high level of happiness with God, to enjoy being with God, with the mitzvahs. The Leil HaSeder is a great time of achdus. You can become friends again with someone you're not so friends with. One of your children or your wife, you don't talk to her so nicely. And Leil HaSeder is a time when you can become achdus. The whole 7 days of Pesach is a time when a person should get together with his family, with his friends, with himself. It's a time when a person can do his boydudus and really come close to God, because it's written in the Chagim, all the holidays, is a time when a person comes very close to God. He can't come close to God on any other time of the year like he can on a holiday. In the Prat, the Leil HaSeder, where we have this special light that comes down on us, we don't have in any night of the year. That's why we say Hallel on Leil HaSeder twice. After the davening, and in the Agoda itself, we say Hallel. Why do we say Hallel twice? Because we're so happy with the miracles that the Shem did for us. Ben Beklolius, Ben Beprothius, we're thanking God for all the great things he did to us, and we really want to be with God, and we're promising him this year is going to be different from all other years. Sometimes, after the first day of Pesach, comes a little bit of atzus and marah shechora and depression right after Leil HaSeder the first night. A person shouldn't be surprised with that. Why? Because Rav Nachman says, in order for you to become to get an aliyah, you got to go. Your rida has to take place beforehand, and this is the secret of all the Sefiras Omer. Sefiras Omer is the yarida, the tachlis aliyah. We're checking up every day, every single thing, every protis and protis, 49 days before Shavuos. On Shavuos, we can even come on a higher level than even Pesach. Why? Because we're working on it. Pesach, we're giving a present. You're given a present. You're given such a great light on the Leil HaSeder. You're not deserving of such a thing. But right after Pesach leaves, the first night, and you're working on the whole first 7 days of Pesach, that you can't eat chumitz, but after Moitzi Pesach, on the seventh day of Pesach, you can't eat chumitz, and then you have to work in the Sefiras Omer to get even a greater light on Shavuos after you pass the 49 days. Hashem Yazor, on this Sunday, we'll be talking about more of the story here, and then we'll get on to Shvi Shepesach. Is a very great time also, because there is a shir. Someone mentioned it yesterday. What is this shir of Moshe? Moshe said, "Oz Yoshir," and Shvi Shepesach is the share of Moshe. There's a very big secret there that I want to tell you about. That we'll do that next week. Bezer Hashem on Shvi Shepesach. First, we have to get to Shabbos Agodol, which is the Shabbos before Pesach, where the whole Shorish is in that Shabbos. And we'll see how great Shabbos is. Shabbos Agodol was the first Shabbos in the whole history of the Hebrew nation that they were Shomer Shabbos. All the other, the Jews were Shomer Shabbos, but they were only like non-Jews. This is before Matan Torah. The first Shabbos that all the Jews were really Shomer Shabbos was Shabbos Agodol. And it's written in Shabbos Agodol, If all the Jews would be able to shomer Shabbos, the Mashiach would come immediately. Any other Shabbos in the middle of the year, you have to have two Shabbos. It's not enough one. But Shabbos' Godel is so great that if all the Jews would be shomer Shabbos a Godel, the Mashiach would come immediately. Immediately after Shabbos Godel. What does this mean? We'll talk about it next week.
Thank you so much.